the sports voice in southeastern Indiana. Country 103.9 WRVI welcomes you to Coach's Corner, southeastern Indiana's top local sports show. Live from Ison's Family Pizza in Batesville, here's your host, Hall of Famer Ron Raver.
We're glad you're with us here this evening. Our first guest is Gary Moorman, Oldenburg Academy boys basketball coach. And, Coach, we were talking before we went on the air. Something that you're not used to with your system is giving up a lot of points in a game, and South Decatur went nuts on you.
Boy, that's to put it mildly. Mm-hmm. If you would have told me, I was asking one of our players, if you would have were told before the game started that we were going to score 93 points in regulation, would you have accumulated all the wealth of everybody you know and bet that we would have won? And he chuckled. He said, yeah, I would assume we would have won by about 30 or 40 points. But to score 93 points and lose in a game tells you what kind of absolutely crazy basketball game it was.
We were just talking before we went on the air. One of the things that you ran into and you wanted to comment on that was the fact that they shot 34 free throws and made 30 of them.
That's correct. And we had talked about it before we went on the air. One of the things that's really overlooked sometimes in basketball is the importance of common fouls. What I mean by that is non-shooting fouls. And I always tell our guys, listen, the fouls that we can take are a contested shot that perhaps you foul a shooter. It's not a jump shooter, but around the basket, or a block out. Because there really aren't a whole lot of fouls called blocking out. Maybe throughout the course of the game, five total between the two teams. But what you cannot have is unnecessary fouls 30, 35, 40, or sometimes 80 feet away from the basket, right? Those fouls accumulate, and a couple things really, really bad happen to your team. Number one, you're getting your players in foul trouble, which we were in enormous foul trouble all night. We had two players foul out, two end the game with four, and we were battling that all night long. And moreover, you're moving a team, and in this case, South Decatur, a team who shot unbelievably well from the free throw line. And we scouted them Tuesday before that, and they hit their first 11 that night before missing one. So this was no fluke for them shooting free throws. And so they went 30 of 34 from the free throw line against us. And you know, those things were killers. There's a lot of bright spots, and we'll talk about those, but it most certainly is alarming to give up that many points when, we were talking beforehand, our two previous games, which of course would have been last year, the last regular season game, we allowed only 24 points to Lawrenceburg the whole game. I got a call from John Blackwell. He goes, what in the world? What was it, 12 overtimes? I said, no, it's regulation. And then the in the sectional, our last game would have been. Oh, I take that back. We would have played a first sectional game that we won, but the last regular season game and then the last sectional game, we gave up 38 points in overtime. So, it is certainly foreign soil for us to give up that many points. But hats off to South Decatur. They played lights out. They are going to win a ton of basketball games this year, The biggest problem, Coach, was we could never get the game on our terms. They are a very wide-open, freewheeling press shoot. They try to shoot every 6 or 8 seconds. I mean, they're putting up one pass and a shot. They'll try to make it, and they were able to get the ball inside on us. We were just had such a tough time getting the game on our terms. And even though we led at times, they would come battling back. You know, they'd miss a three and get a put back or any number of things. But hats off to them. And our guys, I'll give them credit. They were in great spirits tonight. And as I think I told you, we were making out our team goals for the year. And one of the, obviously, winning the sectional. And we'd like to set the school win record, which would be to win 23 games. And then their third one was they want to break the scoring, the points allowed record, right? Well, that team that won 22 games only allowed 37 points a game, led the state in fewest points per game. So I did point out to him, I'm not sure how great all their math is, right? I said, well, that's a laudable goal, and that's really good. But you do realize that if we shut out our next opponent, we're still giving up an average of 47.5 points a game, right? So that's with a shutout. So I said, apparently this is a long-term goal.
With them making 30 free throws, they didn't make that many field goals, considering the fact that they scored 95 points.
Right. Well, they made 22 twos and 7 threes, so they made plenty of them, too.
Yeah.
But we outscored them from the field. We made 21 twos and 9 threes, but they beat us at the free throw line. And hats off to Coach Wildey's group. Oh, they were – they were sky high afterwards. We had a six-game winning streak over them going into that game, and their fans were just great. They were high-spirited and first class about it all the way. And so anyway, I wish them well. All the people at South Decatur are some of the really nice salt-of-the-earth people, and I'll hope that they have an outstanding season.
Who played well for the Twisters?
Well, we had some guys that had big games. Jake Johnson had an enormous game. He scored 42 points, had 9 rebounds. Again, one of the guys was in deep foul trouble the whole game. Had to, you know, settle for longer range shots rather than maybe risk getting a charge, right? But still had an enormous night. Andrew Oesterling had 29 points. So out of our two leading scorers, we had 71 points. Zach Wegman had 11 points for us and 6 rebounds, and Will Freeland had 10 points in his first varsity start, and then Nate Follip had to start in place of Dempsey Bowman. We were down one starter, he's a sophomore. He scored 1 point, but he did get 6 rebounds, and we had some contributions from guys off the bench. But as I said, it was more a game of styles, contrasting styles, and they got us to play their style, and we never were able to wrestle that from them, and that's a tribute to them.
Coach, you got two games this week. Talk about Edinburgh and Morristown. I know it's early in the year, so you don't know a lot about either of these teams, except going back to last year and what they have coming back and the style they play.
Right. Well, we play at Edinburgh on Friday night, and it's 3 games. So there's a C team or freshman game that is going on simultaneously with the JV game in their auxiliary gym. And then obviously the varsity game to follow. Really nice. You and Sally and I have talked about that in the past. Edinburgh, really one of the really cool venues, really nice old-fashioned gym. It looks a lot like the Spartan Bowl. It's a sunken gym and with seats, permanent seats all around it. So it's a really cool venue for a game. We look forward to going there every other year. Then, of course, on Saturday night has become one of our really hot rivals over the recent years as Morristown is really, their program has just taken off, and they've just been able to put such a quality product on the court every year. So that's at home. We met them last year, beat them at Morristown by 17. So they have definitely some weapons coming back this year, and that'll be a tall task.
I know Edinburgh in their first two ball games, I think they played two, have struggled a little bit. Many veterans, or are they a young team?
They are a young team. They started, I believe, 4 seniors last year, so they're a younger team, and they have struggled a little bit. So hopefully that plays well for us.
And the Morristown team, I know 2 years ago they were one of the best teams in the state of Indiana, irregardless of classes. I would imagine they've rebuilt since then.
Yeah, they returned one player from that state champion team, a kid by the last name of Carlton, who was a starter as a sophomore. They have 2 Krim brothers. They may not be brothers. They may be cousins. That are both really good players that are coming back. They have some really good shooters. They won their opening game against Southwestern. I don't know if that was Tuesday. I think that was Saturday. And they'll be very, very good.
the reserves, how'd they do, Coach?
The JV won comfortably, played very well. Everybody got in, contributed, so they got off to a good start.
And I would imagine, going back to the game you had Friday night, I don't imagine there was too many seats left in that gym, was there?
No. On Saturday.
Saturday.
Oh, it was absolutely packed. And like I said, kudos to the South Decatur fans. I mean, they were just first class, and they could have – our fans knew to get there early. So there wasn't a whole lot of space for them to squeeze in. We had some people putting some chairs down at the end of the – you've been there in those surroundings, and part of that is really fun. I mean, it was an incredible atmosphere. It was very loud, and part of that fed into, them winning the game, I felt like, because our guys were so geeked before the game, and it was so hard for us to throttle down and say, let's just play our style here, you know. We'll get out and run with teams when we have the opportunity, but we don't want to turn it into a a street ball game. And that's what this came down to, where it was just kind of like, you know, if we'd have played five more minutes, we might have won by 10 or lost by 10, or, you know, the wild pendulum swings of the scores. Although neither team led by more than 5 points in the game, they ended up winning. Their largest lead was 5, and we had it at 5 a couple times. But anyway, it was had a lot of fans, very nice, and it was one of the most exciting games they've ever seen, albeit that, maybe 2 months from now, if things are going well for us, I can take that better than right now. Being on the losing end of an exciting game isn't such a great thing.
Coach, anything else before we let you go this evening?
No, we're just looking forward to this weekend, and hopefully next Monday we'll come in. We won't have some kind of crazy story for you.
Didn't catch it on John Harrell's website on Saturday, so it was Sunday morning when I went to the computer, and when I saw 95 for South Decatur, I thought, this has got to be overtime, and it wasn't.
As I told you, I had several calls from coaches saying, asking me how many overtimes, and I said, well, there were zero. The whole game felt like a never-ending overtime now that it's over.
But with three-point shots, things change a whole lot in basketball.
That's correct.
Points can be added up. And Coach, we'll see you next week.
Yep, we'll see you next week, Coach. Thanks so much.
We will be back after these words from our sponsor. You're listening to Coach's Corner on WRBI 103.9 on your FM dial and streaming live on WRBIRadio.com. We will be right back.
Cecil Eisen from Eisen's Family Pizza. We ask you to legalize marinara, and that was such an amazing response from you, our customers. So now we are asking you to not be Alfredo and try our new pasta. We have your choice of rigatoni, spaghetti, or cheese ravioli. We offer our delicious marinara or Alfredo. You can top them with 3 meat options for an additional charge. Try the chicken, meatballs, or sausage bites. Eisen's Family Pizza on the web, 812-933-0333 on the phone or downtown Batesville.
Fall's here, and that means chilly weather's on the horizon. Before cold extremes put your furnace to the test, put Hurt and Elko to work and get up to $1,600 off a qualifying Lennox home comfort system. Hurt and Elko can make your home's air feel perfectly comfortable this season and throughout the year. Call Hurt and Elko at 812-934-4646 today. That's 812-934-4646 or hurt-elko.com and get the best out of fall with Hurt and Elko and Lennox. Call now.
This is Alex Meir.
And my name is Josh Hounce.
The Medicare annual enrollment period begins October 15th. At Health Markets, we understand how overwhelming that may feel.
As local licensed insurance agents, we help you go through the process of selecting a plan that fits your needs.
We have access to nationally recognized carriers, which allows us to present several options for you.
Best of all, our services are free.
Stop by the Health Market office on Northside Drive in Batesville or call 812-932-2135 to set up your consultation.
Now, back to Coach's Corner at Eisen's Family Pizza on the Sports Voice in Southeastern Indiana, Country 103.9 WRBI.
We're back, and joining us now is Bob Bressard, Milan's girls basketball coach. And Coach, how are the Lady Indians doing so far?
Right now we're sitting at 1-4. We've got a couple games that we played really close, and they just didn't turn our way in the end. But we started out with an overtime win at South Decatur, and we've had a little bit of a struggle since then. But Saturday we played fairly well and looked pretty decent at times, and we're just looking forward to continue improving.
How many young ladies do you have out for basketball this year, and how many lettered for you last year?
I've got six that I play full-time at the moment, and then three that I'm splitting time between JV and varsity. I've got all six of them that are playing full-time lettered last year, so we got six lettered winners back. I've got CC Bailey, who's a senior. She's kind of the engine that runs the machine here, and then we play around her. Michaela O'Brien's also a senior, along with Maddie Schmidt. My juniors are Lauren Rell, who's a 6'1 girl who plays really good inside around the goal. Angela King and Casey Pendell, a couple juniors that are our guards that try to get the ball down the floor and run the show for us. And then I've got three young ladies who are splitting time. Olivia Davis is a junior, and Riley Clark and Audrey Schmidt. They're all coming up and dressing and pitching in their one quarter night.
The Bailey girl's quite an athlete. I saw her in track last spring, and she's quite a high jumper, and I can see why you build a team around her.
Yeah, she's averaging 15 points and 11.5 rebounds a game right now, and she had a game high with 26 one night, and I think her low has been 7. I think that was against Jackson Dell, and you know, it's getting to the point now where, as normal, people are keying on her, so everybody else is going to have to start stepping up a little bit.
Coach, who you got coming up in the next couple of weeks?
We got Switzerland County tomorrow night at Switzerland County, and they were there scouting Saturday. We played New Washington. New Washington game, they ended up beating us 9, but towards the end of the third quarter, we were only down 2. And then we fouled them, and they were going to the free throw line. The girl that fouled out, and the sub I put in had the wrong number uniform on, so that turned into 2 more free throws in the ball, which took us from being down 2 to being down 7, and then we ended up losing by 9. So Switz saw that, so they're going to be ready tomorrow night. And then Saturday we got a boy-girl doubleheader with Lawrenceburg at Milan. That'll be interesting. Lawrenceburg's a very good team, a very good girls team with Julia Kemper. She's very strong for them, and she has a very good supporting cast, so we're going to have to play really well Saturday night. Next Tuesday, we go to Southwestern Hanover, I believe, and Southwestern is playing very well right now, so that's going to be a really good game. And then next Saturday, we have Edinburgh. So that's our upcoming next 4 games.
Coach, this is one of the years that in the county, I know Jacksonville has to be the favorite, but teams are playing them very, very close this year as well. So they may be, in the end, as good as they were last year, but right now, they are letting other teams stay in the ball game with them.
Right, that's true. You know, they are good, and as you said, by the end of the season, they are going to be hard to handle. We played them fairly close in the first half when we played them here a while back. I think it was maybe 2 or 4 points at half, but they came out, opened the second half, and dropped about 3 threes on us, and we kind of went into shock and didn't do anything from there on out. But you know, that gave us a little confidence that the girls can possibly play with them a little bit. And I watched Batesville play them last Friday night, and that was a very good ball game that could have went either way down the end. And, you know, South Ripley's having a season very similar to what we're having at Milan right now. They're kind of rebuilt, in a little rebuild mode, and trying to find their direction right now.
Coach, the girls' basketball, one of the things that's amazing me is how much bigger these young ladies are. And not only are they bigger, they're much, much stronger than when girls' basketball started back in the 70s.
Oh, absolutely. You know, our front line goes 6'1", 6 foot, 5'11". And, you know, for a small school like we are, that's pretty big. Our issue right now is just getting offense going, and they're keying on the big girls a little bit. And It's really amazing how big they are right now. You got the big girl at Jacksonville, the Hubbard girl, and I mean, it's just as you said, it's really been a change.
I got a granddaughter playing basketball. She's 12 years old, and there's some 6-footers down there playing at that level now. So you wonder how big they're going to be.
There really are, yes.
Yeah. Coach, who's helping you with basketball?
My varsity assistant is Brian Beeler. Brian's been with me the whole 6 years I've been at Milan. Brian does a very good job. He's an assistant football coach also. So up until the end of football season, I don't see him a whole lot, but he's very motivational to the kids, puts in a lot of hard time, works hard. And then my JV coach is Kevin Elder. Kevin and I have been friends since childhood, and he retired mailman, so he has plenty of time, and he's doing a real good job with our JV team. Our JV team's playing really well. They've won several games, and he's trying to develop those kids to come up to the next level here next year or so.
Coach, when you started at Milan, you had trouble just fielding a reserve team, I would think, didn't you?
Yes, we did. And I think even last year we had a few games where we had people injured and couldn't even play a whole game. And that's really kind of hurt a couple of these kids, because like last year they only got a half a season in, even though they were practicing with us at night. But practice still isn't the same as the game speed and the game feel. But I think we're looking pretty good now. We got the JV team. We're pretty solid. We got 10, 11 kids on JV, and we've got some pretty decent kids coming into junior high and sixth grade level. And I think we've got going to be pretty solid for the next few years as far as having the JV and the varsity.
And I think Milan is one of those schools that's either holding their own in enrollment or maybe increasing a little bit, so that's always good to know anyhow.
Yeah, and we welcome any big kids that can handle a ball.
Coach, do you play in any tournaments over Christmas, or you just have the county tourney?
We just have the county tourney, but we have picked up a couple games over break. We now play Borden over Christmas break, and we've been in contact with Cambridge City Lincoln. I think that's a game that's going to be picked up to be played over break as well. So it'll cut down on the monotony of practicing all the time without games.
Yeah, and it also keeps the kids sharp as well, because that county tourney comes up right after New Year's, so you want to be sharp when that comes around.
Absolutely. It's I love the tourney, the Ripley County tourney. It has a lot of history to it, and, you know, it's just – I kind of get the girls. We just want to play on that Saturday night to get the feel of what it's like to play for a championship. We did that a couple years ago in the sectional, and it was a great feeling for kids that aren't used to winning very much.
Coach, anything else before we let you go?
No, I just thank you for having me on, letting me talk about the kids and giving them a little bit of attention. They work awfully hard every day, and a lot of people have no idea who they are, and this is a good way to hear about them.
Thank you for coming up, and I always enjoy talking to you, and best of luck, and I'll see you at the county tourney, if not before.
All right. Thank you for having me. I always enjoy it.
We will be back after these words from our sponsor. You listen to Coach's Corner on WRBI 103.9 on your FM dial and streaming live on WRBIRadio.com. We will be right back.
Cecil Eisen from Eisen's Family Pizza. We ask you to legalize marinara, and that was such an amazing response from you, our customers. So now we are asking you to not be Alfredo and try our new pasta. We have your choice of rigatoni, spaghetti, or cheese ravioli. We offer our delicious marinara or Alfredo. You can top them with three meat options for an additional charge. Try the chicken, meatballs, or sausage bites. Eisen's Family Pizza on the web, 812-933-0333 on the phone, or downtown Batesville.
ETC has a gift for your business this holiday season. Get a $250 gift card of choice when you choose ETC for your company's internet, business phones, or web design. Make your business merry and bright with professional, reliable services from ETC. Contact us at 833-ETC-4BIZ before the end of the year to learn more about ETC's business solutions. Have yourself a merry little Christmas from your friends at ETC.
On January 7th, join us for Margaret Mary Health's Live Well Now program. This 10-week series is based on research that shows the best way to lose weight and improve your overall health is by making small and gradual lifestyle changes you can stick to. Taught by our dietitians, the program covers everything from meal planning and cooking to exercise and stress management. Registration is required by calling 812-933-5602.
Now, back to Coach's Corner at Eisen's Family Pizza on the Sports Voice in Southeastern Indiana, Country 103.9 WRBI.
We're back, and joining us now is Joe Adams, Franklin County's girls basketball coach. Coach, how have the Lady Wildcats done since we last talked?
So we had a tough stretch there. We are now 2-5, so we had a tough back-to-back there weekend. We had Union County, and then we had Switzerland County, so we lost by about 15 to Union County, and then we had to go on the road, which is a nice little bus ride for the girls to Switzerland County. And we lost in a close, and we were up 4 at the half. They ended up getting us by 10, so that was a tough loss for us. And we had to turn around and play Lawrenceburg Wednesday night, and Lawrenceburg is just a different animal. So that one was not a film you wanted to watch afterwards. They really got on us with their full court pressure, and Kemper's just a great all around player and athlete, and just does a lot of great things. I mean, we held her to 7 points, but it just felt like she was just doing it all, getting steals, assists. I mean, she just does it all. And so that was a that was a pretty rough game to have to be a part of.
I think she dismissed being in a state track meet last spring. So you're talking about a real athlete there who's good in multiple sports as well.
Yeah.
Talk about your statistical leaders at this time.
So right now in scoring, we're pretty even. We have three or four girls. We have Taylor McCurry, Carrie Hodapp, and Alex Gilmore are all averaging about 5 points a game. It would be nice if we could get three or four more girls to get about 5 points a game to really just spread it out. And then Taylor McCurry is also leading us in rebounds with about four a game, and our freshman Macy Crane is also averaging four rebounds a game. So it's pretty well distributed statistically all around the board.
How are your younger teams doing, Coach?
So we have kind of a C team, but we haven't played very many games because it's kind of hard to field a C team. So our JV right now is 3-4. They could really have four or five wins. They've lost a couple 1 or 2 point games. There's some real heartbreakers where you just kind of got to learn how to win those games. You know, the younger girls. So they're struggling a little bit as well, but they have slowly improved so far throughout the season.
Who do you have left before Christmas?
So we have this weekend we have Shelbyville at home, and then we turn around and play a much improved Richmond team at Richmond, a very athletic, long team. And then we'll have South Ripley at home, and then we'll have Batesville at home too. So we have a tough stretch here before the break begins.
Yeah, South Ripley's struggling a little bit, but they're very, very tall. I think they got three girls that go around 5'11 or 6 foot. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they play really hard. And then Batesville, you know, has improved. Have you seen from the as you saw from the Jackson Dell game? I mean, they're playing really well right now as well, and have improved. So it's going to be a tough stretch here for us before the break as well.
Yeah, Shelbyville is a very winnable ball game, although they are playing better this year than they have been in the past 2 years, just looking at their scores. I don't know about wins and losses, but
absolutely.
I know some of their scores, they're playing better basketball.
Yeah, they shoot the ball a lot, and they like to trap. So if we can handle their pressure and not let them shoot well from the field, I think we'll be all right. But, yeah, it definitely is a winnable game for us.
Yeah. Do you have a Christmas tournament, Coach?
Yes, yeah, so we'll be playing at Lebanon. It's a four-team tournament, so it's us. We'll be playing Eastern Greentown the first game, and then South Dearborn and Lebanon will be in the other one. So based on how we do, we could either get a pre-matchup of South Dearborn and us or play Lebanon as well. So it was a nice tournament because we had about 3 weeks off in between games, and that was way too long to have to practice. The girls would have been sick of me and probably vice versa. So we were able to get in a tournament, which I think will be good, and play some teams that you usually don't see.
Yeah, when you have that long a time off, it's like starting all over again.
Yeah, and you got to get in shape again, and it's just not fun for anybody.
No,
so I was
glad
we could get some games in between.
Yeah. EIC, have you played any games yet?
Just the Lawrenceburg game. So most of our conference games are in January, so it's kind of backloaded. So that's the only game we really had. And then we played East Central, but that was a non-conference game. So we'll get them again at the end of the season as well.
And I understand that from Coach Moore, they've had some injuries and haven't had their full team yet. I've seen their scores, so I wouldn't want to play them if they had the full team.
Right. And they play a loaded schedule, too. So, I mean, they haven't had a bad loss yet. They always play a really good team. So.
Yeah. Coach, anything else before we let you go?
No, I just appreciate you having me on.
And I appreciate you coming up. I know it was close together, but that's the way the schedule worked out, and we thank you for doing that. And don't pick up any deer with your car on the way home.
Good advice. I'll try not to.
Okay. Thank you so much, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
We will be back after these words from our sponsor. You listen to Coach's Corner on WRBI 103.9 and FM dial and streaming live on WRBIRadio.com. We will be right back.
Cecil Eisen from Eisen's Family Pizza. We ask you to legalize marinara, and that was such an amazing response from you, our customers. So now we are asking you to not be Alfredo and try our new pasta. We have your choice of rigatoni, spaghetti, or cheese ravioli. We offer our delicious marinara or Alfredo. You can top them with three meat options for an additional charge. Try the chicken, meatballs, or sausage bites. Eisen's Family Pizza on the web, 812-933-0333 on the phone or downtown Batesville.
Batesville Chrysler Dodge Jeep is a proud sponsor of local athletics. I'm Michelle Galk, and at Batesville Chrysler, we value this community and the relationships we've built with our customers. As your hometown car dealer, we understand the importance of staying connected to the community. We commend all our student-athletes and their hard work and dedication. That's why we're proud to sponsor local sports coverage so that fans can stay connected no matter where we are. Remember, you can buy a car anywhere, but when you buy at Batesville Chrysler Dodge Jeep, we can all work together to support the future of this great community.
When it comes comes to your prescriptions and medications, you want to be able to rely on someone you know and trust. And you can trust George's to fill your prescription right, deliver it to your door, and, most importantly, give you all the professional advice you need. For prescriptions you know and trust, George's Pharmacy.
We are here for you. We are here for you.
George's offers free delivery to Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky.
Now, back to Coach's Corner at Ison's Family Pizza on the Sports Voice in southeastern Indiana, Country 103.9 WRBI.
We're back, and joining us now is Curtis Miller, Batesville High School wrestling coach. And, Coach, how many wrestlers do you have out this year?
This year we have 19, which is the most we've had since I've been coaching. Five seniors, three juniors, six sophomores, and five freshmen. A handful of those are first-year wrestlers, so they're kind of picking up things faster than some would, having to be jumped into varsity lineups and stuff.
How many of those lettered for you last year?
We have 11 returning letters from last year, and we actually have a returning letter from 2 years ago.
And I saw the score from the Jennings County match, and one of the things that's always a problem in wrestling is how many weight classes do you have filled, and I noticed that's a problem for you right now.
At the moment, yes, we filled eight last Tuesday. We're hoping to have one or two more filled tomorrow, but we have the potential of filling 13 out of the 14 once we get everybody healthy and things are taken care of and ready to wrestle. So hopefully by sectionals we'll be able to fill 13 out of 14 of the weight classes.
And I think looking at the score from your first match, it was the lower weight classes that you had trouble filling.
Yes. One of our really good wrestlers is in the lower weight class, but he's not able to wrestle because of a injury sustained during football. But and then we have a couple others that weren't able to wrestle. But, yeah, we only had one wrestler wrestle below 145 on that day. Everything else was above that weight class.
And I noticed as the kids get bigger, so do the weight classes, because I think you, it seems like when I first started following high school wrestling, there was only a couple weight classes above 195, and now I think is there two or three of them above 200 now?
Yes, it goes 195, and then it goes up to 220, and then 285. They have a, at one point there wasn't a limit on heavyweight, but yeah, they've brought it in when I was in school, and then they've raised it since I was in school. But yeah, there's two weight classes above 200.
Yeah, and 195 obviously is very close.
Very close. Yeah. Yeah, most kids that weigh 200 end up wrestling by the end of the season.
Yeah. The Jennings County meet, I noticed you, the weight classes that you filled, you did very, very well.
Yes, we won 6 out of 8 matches, which is really good if you look at it from that perspective. We gave up 5 forfeits. All the matches we won were by pin. It's just one of those things. There's a lot of scenarios that could have, like one, in all honesty, one match we lost, if we would have won, we would have won the duel. Or if the two matches we lost would end in decision, we would have won the duels. Just small things. So it's, we're right there, and James County is a really good wrestling program. They have, their coach was telling me they have 45 kids, which is an off year for them.
I was going to say, back in the day when they had some of the Hurleys and those guys wrestling down there, I don't think they lost very many matches during the year, and they didn't lose very often in a state tournament until they got way up to the top.
Oh, yeah. They're normally a top team in their conference, or have been. They've won so many sectional titles since I've been in school and on to now. Yeah, the really great program, and the fact that we can wrestle to this, win 8 out of 6 matches, is a testament of how much better we are getting.
Who should be some of the top teams in the EIAC?
East Central has really picked things up and have gotten back to being the top of the conference. Lawrenceburg always has solid wrestlers. South Dearborn's lately, like since I graduated, have always been one of the top teams in the conference. And one team I do want to mention is Rushville. They have a pretty good senior class coming in this year. They've been building since those kids were freshmen, and some of those kids have always been their tough wrestlers, so they got a pretty good senior class that could help them at least be in mention of the top teams.
And it sounds like from this what you're saying there, there aren't any weak sisters in the conference, really, because I think Greensburg traditionally has some good wrestlers, and I know Connersville as well is not somebody you can just say, well, we're going up there and going to win.
No, that's correct. Like, our entire conference is getting better. They all have pretty decent youth programs. I know our conference mean in the middle school level is always competitive. But, yeah, all the weight classes, it's not like every team wins or one team has all the champions like it has been in some years. Things get spread out quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't remember the numbers from last year, but I don't remember anybody winning any large number. I think it was like threes and two, 3-2, 3-2 type of thing in the conference last year. Coach, who's helping you with wrestling?
Josh Chase is my assistant coach for the third year as my assistant coach. He also coached the year before I became head coach, so this is his fourth year with the program. He's been very helpful. He has a lot of conditioning tips. I kind of focus more on the wrestling. He focuses on the conditioning, the running, and all that stuff. So he's very helpful in that regard.
Who's going to run your junior high program?
Bob Weiler will be coaching again for, I want to say, the third or fourth year. I think it's fourth year.
Coach, the Connersville Invitational, are you still in that?
This is actually our second year out of it.
Oh, okay.
We've been out of it. Yeah, this will be our second year.
That was a two-day affair over the Christmas break, and I know weather-wise and 2 days over a Christmas break was asking a lot of the kids.
Yeah, we now have a meet in place of that week in Frankton, which is a farther drive, but every wrestler's guaranteed 5 matches opposed to going to Connersville. You're only guaranteed 2. You have to win in order to get up to the 5, 6, 7 matches and wrestle into the second day. So,
and there was something like what seems to me like there was like 30 or more teams in the Connersville Invitational, weren't they, at one
yeah,
time?
Yeah, I think they like to keep it at 32.
Coach, anything else before we let you go?
I'm just looking forward to the rest of the season. We wrestle tomorrow at Madison. They always have a competitive team. Then Saturday we start our sectional and conference opponents at Milan, which we always get Milan, Lawrenceburg, Rushville, Union County, who is intersectional, and then Triton Central's a newer team to that meet. That it gives us a good school more our size to compete with.
It sounds like a lot of wrestling matches coming up before Christmas, so best of luck, and be looking forward to seeing how you do.
All right, thank you.
We will be back after these words from our sponsor. You listen to Coach's Corner on WRBI 103.9 on your FM dial and streaming live on WRBIRadio.com. We will be right back.
Cecil Eisen from Eisen's Family Pizza. We ask you to legalize marinara, and that was such an amazing response from you, our customers. So now we are asking you to not be Alfredo and try our new pasta. We have your choice of rigatoni, spaghetti, or cheese ravioli. We offer our delicious marinara or Alfredo. You can top them with 3 meat options for an additional charge. Try the chicken, meatballs, or sausage bites. Eisen's Family Pizza on the web, 812-933-0333 on the phone or downtown Batesville.
It's fall, and you know what that means. It's time to start indulging in pumpkin spice lattes at least 4 times a week. While you're parked and all perked up at the coffee shop, be sure to call Hurt & Elko to get a Lennox home comfort system and make your home feel as cozy as it can be. Put down the latte now and call Hurt & Elko at 812-934-4646. That's Hurt & Elko at 812-934-4646 or on the web at hurt-elko.com.
Gehrings & Carrier have a complete line of home heating products to keep your family comfortable this winter without burning your budget. With smart temperature management, it's easier than ever to control your home's climate. and Carrier Energy Efficient Systems can help reduce utility bills without sacrificing comfort. For more complete comfort and greater peace of mind, turn to the experts at Gehrings and Carrier. Stop at Gehrings today, 316 North Main, Batesville.
Now, back to Coach's Corner at Eisen's Family Pizza on the Sports Voice in Southeastern Indiana, Country 103.9 WRBI.
We're back, and joining us now is Brian Helby, Batesville High School girls basketball coach. Coach, listen to that game last Friday night. I think with like a minute or a minute and 5 seconds to go, it was still tied. Jacksonville scored the last 4 points, and that was the difference in the ball game.
Yeah, you know what? We again, we got close, and you know, there's no moral victories here. But you know, we did play pretty well for the most part. We led at different times during the game. Jacksonville just maybe just had a little too much for us there in the end. We made some mistakes late that kind of cost us. Maybe a couple mental mistakes with assignments on shooters, and then we turned the ball over a couple of times that ended up being kind of costly, and you know, we just ran out of opportunities.
Coach, one of the things, and I know it's hard to tell on the radio just how well some of the young ladies are playing, but it sounded like Werner and Nobby had very, very good games for you.
You know what, we continue to provide a pretty balanced effort. Offensively, Ashley led us with 16 points, and she also, I think, had 5 rebounds, 3 steals in that range. Carly, again, had a really good first half, and then, you know, they kind of clamped down on her a little bit in the second half, and she ended up with 15 points, and, you know, I think all but 2 of those coming in the first half. So they made some adjustments at halftime and limited her, but then we had Ashley step up, and I think all of her points except for 2 came in the second or in the third and fourth quarter. So that was, it was great to see. You know, we actually had, I think we talked last week or the week before about needing to get some more than one scorer involved in the game, and we did that. Abigail Westerfeld hit 3 3-pointers at all in very timely situations. Really happy to see her getting that shooting touch that, you know, we see in practice all the time, and now over the last few games, she's showing that success in the games. And then, you know, we had some other contributions that maybe didn't show up in the scorebook necessarily, but Katie Brewer came in off the bench, got her first, I don't want to say real minutes, but provided a little bit larger role for us and provided some energy. Macy Prickle did a nice job. She ended up with 5 rebounds and a couple steals. So all in all, it was a pretty balanced effort, either both by scoring and contributions other than scoring.
And also with having Brewer back for you, that gives you some size. I think she's the tallest girl on the team, or one of the taller girls on the team. And it also gives you one more person to put into a rotation.
It sure does. And anytime we can add a little depth, and we talked about, you know, depth being one of the things that, you know, we're trying to play some girls on the JV extra quarters and some things like that. You know, Katie allows us to continue to do that. And when we can insert her in the lineup, she's full of energy and is willing to go do a lot of those little things. And it helps us both with rotation, but also just in productivity.
And did I notice this week that she was one just inducted into the National Honor Society?
Yeah, I think we've got a solid group of girls. all of them are involved in something different. We had a couple girls that are heavily involved in KSLA who had missed a little bit of practice time today. But there's always something. And, you know, we're encouraging that. We want them to be involved. That shows their leadership qualities. And I guess in the big picture of things, that's the most important.
You got Shelbyville this week. I just talked to Joe Adams just a few minutes ago, and Joe said they're a pressing team this year and like to shoot, but I think struggling a little bit in winning games.
Yeah, they're going. I mean, we watched a little bit tonight of them, and we'll carry over a little bit in the next couple of days of practice. But they're going to do a few things a little bit similar to what Jacksonville did. They're going to run at least from what we can tell, they're going to run a 1-2-1-1. Maybe 3-quarter court, but even back into the half court. So we're going to have to take care of the basketball. We're going to have to attack and try to gain an advantage and then take the ball to the basket against them.
And, of course, one of the things that Shelbyville does is play a pretty big schedule. They haven't so far, but they have a lot of teams on our schedule in the Indianapolis area. So that means these young ladies who are varsity players and back from last year have played some pretty good teams.
Yeah, and they, you know what I can tell, they play pretty hard, kind of like our girls. You know, we continue to play hard, and that was evident again against Jacksonville. And so, you know, what I've been able to see as far as Shelbyville goes, they're going to play hard. They're going to get up down the floor a little bit. So it should be a competitive game, but it's one that I hope we continue to build off the loss against Jacksonville. We build and hopefully pick up a win.
And something unusual this time of the year, it's a Friday night game at home.
Well, it's actually going to be Saturday. They've got a dance that night, so we're going to get the game out of the way before the dance takes place. So the boys get a play on Friday.
That's
night,
right.
So,
The
boys get the big game on Friday night, and I'm sure that's going to draw a nice crowd for us.
There might be a couple people there.
I hope so.
Coach, the reserves, how'd they do?
They won again. They're now 5-3. So after a little bit of a slow start from a wins-loss standpoint, they beat Jacksonville 49-44. Jacksonville's got a solid JV team. We played pretty well. Michaela Granger-Young had 20 points. She was 10 of 13 from the free throw line, so that always helps. Sarah Ripberger and Gabby Elston each had 7 points, and then Ava Hansen added 6 points. So good to see some of those girls putting points on. You know, they've consistently outscored us in fewer minutes, but that's good. That's what we want to see.
And still waiting on two of your players to get back healthy. That means other people are getting playing time, and when you get Carly and Emma back, you'll have a pretty good group of girls down there at that level.
Yeah, it's going to help. I think they're both going to progress in their rehab next week. Carly's a little farther behind than what Emma might be. But, you know, hopefully once we get those girls back, then we can kind of get back to the rotations that we were kind of anticipating at the beginning of the year, and allowing our freshman slash C team to continue to play.
And did they win this week? Or last week, I mean?
They beat Franklin. They did beat Franklin County, so they did pick up a win against Franklin County. I'm not sure if we've met since they played, so that was good for them.
Coach, anything else before I let you go?
Nope, just looking forward to the weekend. Get the boys on Friday night and the girls on Saturday, and hopefully get a couple wins.
And the first game for the boys at home last Saturday night, a pretty nice crowd in there.
It was a good crowd. I tell you what, you always like when Jacksonville comes to town, and you always know it's going to be a good atmosphere. Anytime a county team comes in or one of our conference schools, always hope for those big crowds.
How are things going for you with the coaching and with your athletic duties so far?
So far, so good. But it's going to get a little interesting here pretty soon. We get the boys going full swing, get wrestling going, and swimming's going now. You know, so once we get all these things going on, then we'll see.
You got some good people helping you, right?
We got great people helping me, and that sure makes the job easier. So, and I appreciate everything they do.
Coach, we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
We will be back after these words from our sponsor. You listen to Coach's Corner on WRBI 103.9 on your FM dial and streaming live on WRBIRadio.com. We will be right back.
Cecil Eisen from Eisen's Family Pizza. We ask you to legalize marinara, and that was such an amazing response from you, our customers. So now we are asking you to not be Alfredo and try our new pasta. We have your choice of rigatoni, spaghetti, or cheese ravioli. We offer our delicious marinara or Alfredo. You can top them with 3 meat options for an additional charge. Try the chicken, meatballs, or sausage bites. Eisen's Family Pizza on the web, 812-933-0333 on the phone or downtown Batesville.
Fall's here, and that means chilly weather's on the horizon. Before cold extremes put your furnace to the test, put Hurt and Elko to work and get up to $1,600 off a qualifying Lennox home comfort system. Hurt and Elko can make your home's air feel perfectly comfortable this season and throughout the year. Call Hurt and Elko at 812-934-4646 today. That's 812-934-4646 or hurt-elko.com. Lennox.com and get the best out of fall with Hurt and Elko and Lennox. Call now.
This is Alex Meir.
And my name is Josh Hounce.
The Medicare annual enrollment period begins October 15th. At Health Markets, we understand how overwhelming that may feel.
As local licensed insurance agents, we help you go through the process of selecting a plan that fits your needs.
We have access to nationally recognized carriers, which allows us to present several options for you.
Best of all, our services are free.
Stop by the Health Market office on Northside Drive in Batesville or call 812-932-2135 to set up your consultation.
Now, back to Coach's Corner at Ison's Family Pizza on the Sports Voice in Southeastern Indiana, Country 103.9 WRBI.
We're back, and joining us now is Aaron Garrett, Batesville High School Boys Basketball Coach. Coach, the Jacksonville game, good win for the Batesville Bulldogs, and listen to your post-game talk with WRBI, and I know that there were a couple of things you said that could have been improved, but I thought for a first ball game, they looked pretty good.
Yeah, when you look in totality, as I told the guys tonight during a very honest film session, at the end of the day, we've got a group that's playing very, very hard. They're playing together. And I think even after game one, all eight guys are trusting of the other seven teammates in terms of guys can perform. Guys are playing hard for each other. And there were some really, really good things that happened Saturday night in terms of how the basketball was moving, the extra passes being made. And the other things will get cleaned up. And there are things that are, like I said, didn't challenge the guys with tonight. A lot of it comes down to just concentration and effort. And we'll continue to emphasize the things we need to in practice, and it'll get carried over to the game floor.
One of the things I was impressed with, there was very little difference in the flow of the ball game, no matter who you had on the floor, and that's always nice to see.
Yeah, and I kind of thought even as halftime, as we were down at the quarter break at half, I believe we were up eight, and I told the guys at halftime, I said, this is I think, the type of game we're going to play most of the year in terms of it's just very steady, possession by possession, grinding things out, offensively, defensively, and that's what you saw, I thought you saw in the game. And like you said, I mean, there's some guys that won't come out much. Obviously, Colt Myers is going to come out very little. RJ runs the show for us on the floor a lot. And then Sam Vagley is another one who I'm not sure he came out at all except just a very quick break at the end of the third quarter. But we can cycle guys through because guys are going to get in foul trouble. I mean, RJ was pretty gassed. I think they're either late first or early second in terms of how much he was running the floor. So he took a quick break, and we put a sophomore at the point position as far as Thomas Raver, and he handled it well. Charlie Dice got in foul trouble. So I thought Austin Korn and Jacob Deutsch played really well off the bench. And as Leighton got in foul trouble, Leighton even played at all the second quarter because he got two quick fouls. So we've got guys that we can plug in, and like you said, the good thing is that's very hopeful for this group is the level of play and intensity and effort and whatnot stays the same no matter what combination's out there.
Colt Meyer scored 28 points and didn't shoot the way Colt Meyer can shoot, so that has to be encouraging as well.
No, and I said this in film tonight, so I'll share it with the radio audience. And I told Colt he did have a very nice game, scores 28 points. But of the 16 practices plus that game, that's probably the worst I've seen Colt look over that stretch, which is quite a compliment to Colt and what he can do and what he will do. There's no doubt what he will do. And they're being awfully physical with him. So the Colt's credit, I mean, he kept moving, kept cutting, kept slashing, and he took quite a few other pretty big hits that somehow weren't fouls, but continued to battle through mentally. And Colt's a guy, the way that game went, he didn't have any assists on the night, and there'll be games this year where he'll either get very close to or reach double-digit assists because he knows the game really well. But they stayed pretty much single-matched up on him at times, and he was able, when he did get the basketball, either get a good look, get to the free throw line where he hit 14 of 16, I believe, maybe 14 of 18, but a high clip at the free throw line. He did get a couple threes to go down in the second half once he got into the groove, but I believe we hit three threes all game. And we're able to maintain an 8-12-point lead, which is very satisfying to me with this group because we can really shoot the basketball, and we shoot it really well in practice. As guys get more comfortable in games, we have multiple guys that can shoot it from different locations on the floor. So to win the game like we did in a more physical fashion against a team that, quite frankly, was a little bit bigger than us, it was satisfying in terms of we're not going to just be a jump-shooting team. I really liked how the guys got to the basket either on their own, or just the extra passes that were made. My favorite possession of the game was in the second half, where we had three reversals. I think we ended up with eight passes, and it went from Thomas to a back-cutting RJ, who dropped it off to a Sam on the other block, who Colt behind him yelled his name, Sammy, because Colt was wide open. Sam turns and pivots because he hears his name being called, and Colt drills a three. And I think that's the type of basketball that'll end up being very, very successful for this group. And we harp on it. I mean, we're charting reversals in games and the results of those reversals based on here's a shot after no reversals, a shot after one reversal, two reversals, and three plus. And I think the guys are really buying into the sharing of the basketball.
Austin Karn is a kid that, Jacob Deutsch for that matter, too, that you never give up on a big kid, do you?
No, and Austin, I started a shooting club about 5 years ago now. And Austin was a kid in middle school. He was kind of just part of the pack, didn't really stand out. You could tell, well, man, he could possibly grow. But then I saw his name all summer long coming through every week in terms of the hundreds and thousands of shots he was taking. And then, quite honestly, that kind of kept him around because he could knock down a shot. And he's just a matter of, I think you'll see Austin. I was very pleased with how he played the other night. And I think you're going to see him just get more and more comfortable. And he does bring us some athleticism and some length. And we were able to, in the second half, get him on the point of that 1-2-2 three-quarter court press that caused them some issues, because he can move really well for his size. And I think once he gets more comfortable and puts it all together. And then, like you said, Jacob Deutsch got in there and got to the free throw line for us right away. And Jacob's a kid who just, again, has also shot thousands of shots. We're going to have to continue to work to get him in space, to get him some looks, because he'll knock them down. But he's just a kid that just does whatever you ask, to the best visibility all the time. And things typically turn out well for kids like that, and they're definitely going to continue to do that for Jacob. And he's a big part of what we do in practice. He maximized his game minutes the other night. And I thought probably the biggest unknown to me and how he would react in a game was our sophomore, Thomas Raver. And I was really pleased with him because he had to play. He played quite a few minutes and got, like I said, when he got in, he got thrown on the ball pretty quickly once RJ needed a break. And I thought he handled that well. He rebounded well for us. So did a lot of different things for us in terms of, like, he's going to have to. I mean, he's going to have to defend bigger guys for us at times. He's going to have to rebound, help us get the tough rebounds. He's going to have to sometimes defend out in space on perimeter because he's going to be on a guard. And on the other end, he's a guy that will sometimes run the show, whether RJ's in or if I want to get RJ off the basketball and let him and Colt kind of run together off the ball. Thomas will handle that ball for us. And Thomas made some very, very good fundamental passes here tonight, and he's gifted in that regard, as he can a lot of times see the next play before it develops. And he was able to get us in some good spots. And just a pretty steady performance for being a sophomore. And quite frankly, put together some good practices. But I wouldn't say he's put together an entire practice, which is pretty common for sophomores. So to see him step up during the game time and just play hard and do what was asked was very, very pleasing.
Coach, I didn't pay that much attention to who was guarding Gale, but I think he was their leading scorer in their first game against South Ripley, and I think he was held to less than 5 points in our game.
Well, Gale came in and hit two threes against South Ripley, and they were timely, but the Simon boy was the focus of our scout, and he led them against South Ripley as well. Really, really good sophomore player. As you could tell from the very first play, we went after Baber, and we were able to get a foul call him in that on our first set, just to get that big athlete out of the to maybe make him a little bit more cautious, because he's solid, he's very athletic, he's added a jump shot to his game. He hit one of those there in that stretch in the first quarter. So we really went after him. And in that regard, Sam Vagley, Sam ended up with 17 points to follow Colt, who had 28, and Sam had 10 rebounds. He had a double-double, and Sam's a guy, he's not big and tall, but he's very strong and very quick twitch muscle-wise in terms of his reaction, how quickly he can jump. And you saw that on display with some of the passes from, I know Charlie had one to him, Thomas had a couple over the top on our little post action, and Sam's able to put a body on a guy, nudge even a guy like Baber, and still jump up and get the ball and then go score it. And what teams are going to see and what our fans are going to see is Sam Vagley can absolutely shoot the three-point basketball. He's worked really hard. He's a good shooter out there. So you'll see Sam in space, too. He won't be tied to a block by any means. And Sam put together just a really good game and gives us a lot of energy.
And like you said, Charlie Dice didn't get that many minutes because of foul problems, but that's not uncommon for a kid that played his position in football. It takes a little while to get that out of their system.
Well, and what's exciting for the team is Charlie did did not have much of an impact on this game for various reasons, the main one being some foul trouble, and we were able to do what we did. So what's exciting is Charlie, and fans will see what Charlie can do. I've got total confidence in Charlie, and I challenged him tonight in film and on the practice floor and responded very well. I mean, we're not going to reach any of our big goals, whether that's Ripley County, that's conference, that's sectional and beyond, without a productive Charlie Dice. And we know that as a staff. We know that as a basketball team. So and Charlie had a great practice tonight. It's just a matter of when he consistently puts concentration with his effort to go with the skills he has, he'll be fine for us. And I look forward to seeing him as he contributes too, because that takes us to a whole new level as a basketball team.
Not that you need Scott Greensburg to know what they're going to do, but this will be the first time that you're the opening game for Greensburg.
Yeah, they usually always played South Dearborn on this past Saturday when we played Jacksonville. So we know they're key players coming back. And they've got a couple sophomores that will definitely be in the mix, I know of. And from there, we'll have to look to see how things develop. They'll run some new things at us, as we will at them. But we'll have some of their old sets covered well that they've relied on in the past. Obviously, some of their schemes we're familiar with from playing them so often in the past. So I think it'll be a really good game. I think we'll be able to put a scout in place that'll do us justice without having seen them this year. And obviously they were there in person as coaches and teams live on Saturday. So a little bit of a advantage on us in that regard. But that stuff gets itself straightened out when the ball gets tipped and the guys are playing on the floor.
I know I had Casey on earlier and Stacy, he said that they would be a little thin to start the season. He was only going to keep six players on the varsity at that time. Maybe he's changed his mind since then. And Stanley, I think, and Comer, the two sophomores, are going to start. And then Cole Nalby, I believe, was his sixth player, would be coming off the bench.
Yeah, all familiar names to us, and those youngsters did well on JV last year for him. So it'll be fun to see how we match up with them, because it will be, and how they match up with us. Because it'll be some interesting matchups both ways in terms of what they have maybe on us in length and height. We may have them more in just girth and strength in some positions. I think it'll be a really nice matchup between, say, Sparks and Colt, Wellage and RJ, some of those perimeter guys, to see how those battles go back and forth. And it'll come down to, as you know, especially in a matchup like this, I fully expect it to come down to a few possessions and who can execute those the best and not make mistakes. And as we talk about often, it's more often not a team loses a game than a team wins a game. I do think it'll be the team, especially this early in the season, that limits the mistakes to the best of their ability, has the advantage to come out on top in this first matchup with us.
I was impressed with your reserves. They're not real big either, but their passing and some of their shooting, I know they had more turnovers than what I don't know Coach Gergen would like to see. But they got some kids that can fill a hole, too.
Yeah, and I'm very happy with them, because they've got three juniors leading the way with Calvin and Alex and Ben. And juniors that'll just be giving of themselves and play JV basketball, because it's the best for the program, it's best for them, it's best for their development as they try to play on the varsity team. And they may have times where they play this year in the varsity game in terms of key moments or whatnot with the athleticism they have. But when you have juniors that'll just unselfishly lead, it typically leads to a solid JV squad. So you have those three leading the way. We have a freshman that's up. Then you have the sophomores. That's just a good core group there to kind of put it all together. So Eli Pearson obviously played really, really well the other night in terms of a scoring standpoint and just on both sides of the ball, defensively, rebounding. Eli's one of those guys that has some next-level athleticism in terms of just how he can jump, how he anticipates. He does have some length to him. It was good to see him hit. I think I remember before I went down to get changed, I know he'd hit three threes by then, and well-deserved, because Eli, we've spent some time on him with this fall, again, just tweaking and revamping his shot and reminding him about some things. So it's always good when you see a kid that works at it and you see that confidence start to grow. Then when it carries over to the game floor, and that basket looks awfully big to him, and I think that's what you saw with Eli the other night. Cole Werner really helps run the show for that JV squad. He has the ball in his hands a lot, and he's taking a tough offensive player when he's on the defensive end and on down the line. So very, very happy with that JV squad. And the biggest compliment I can give them is you kind of don't know what you have until you go into that first varsity game. And a lot of that depends on what you got in your JV team in terms of we'll do breakdown work, varsity against varsity, but when we need to get 5-on-5 work done, that is typically varsity against JV, so we can make the appropriate substitutions and we get different combinations playing together. And our JV, and we do a disadvantage scoring to where if we're, let's say we're doing an 8-minute game where to simulate a quarter, if we hit a 3, it's worth a 2. If we hit a 2-point field goal, it's worth 1, where JV is worth the typical 2 points and 3 points, just to keep it to keep it very close and develop some situations that we have to coach through and play through as the quarter goes on. And those guys have battled us physically, and they simply play as hard as they can, and that has served us well, as you saw on Saturday night when we had to go against quite a physical Jacksonville team that battled as well.
The freshmen, how are they doing?
They are 1-1 on the season. They lost their first game to Franklin County, and then they bounced back with a win against Jacksonville on Saturday. So a group that, I think last year's eighth graders, I know they didn't win more than 4 games, and it may have been only 2 or 3, so for them to get a win pretty early in the season was key. And of course, now you have that mixture of St. Louis kids and middle school kids, so that's paying some dividends, and it's fun to see that group just work and work and work. We had our, I forgot to mention this last week, but we had our open practice a couple Saturdays ago to where elementary teams could come in, dirt road teams, youth league teams, etc. Parents could come in and watch it. And after that, we had our Garrett's Gang special needs camp. So a long day. But the freshmen came in. They decided they wanted to still practice that day, so they came in at 5:30 and practiced 5:30 to 7. Then we're in the bleachers to watch our practice that started at 7. And I've never had a group that, I mean, we've had kids in the gym at 5:30, but we've never had a practice start at 5:30. So for that group, after the last couple of years they've had, from a win-loss standpoint, just speaks volumes of the job Coach Henderson's doing to motivate them and then what they're doing to help motivate themselves and each other. So it's a fun group to be around and watch continue to get better.
Coach, the alumni game is fun as usual, and what you wouldn't give to have Matt Dennis playing for you right now?
Well, all those guys that are... And I was joking with Matt D. afterwards. He got his we call it the Tim Duncan post move, where he got the extended post, reverse pivot, and then jump shot. He drilled anyway. He got his reversal layup in that he always liked to take. On down the line, Wes McKinney. It was pretty cool having Michael Mincer and Colt Ryan both on the floor as All-Stars, mm-hmm. and then Jim Fritch playing there, who's his dad was an All-Star, and in between. Wes McKinney being a D3 All-American at Hanover, to guys that are, quite frankly, some of them got better after high school because they got bigger, stronger, faster as their bodies finished growing. And just the camaraderie and to see all of them, because sometimes I may see them one other time a year, two other times a year, but sometimes never except for that alumni game. And like Wes Goldsmith, for example, Wes just found out he and his wife are expecting their second child. So just be able to get caught up on life events like that is awesome.
And Michael Mincer, I still wouldn't want to play a game of horse against him.
Well, it's funny because when he emailed me, I said, "Now, are you sure you're going to be able to still make it?" "Yeah, I'm coming." He goes, I haven't been playing much." And then he gets out there and he shoots a first shot was an air ball. And
yeah.
And he said, "Man, that men's ball feels like a medicine ball, a weight ball," because he's been working with his young daughters with the women's basketball. But as the score got close and they got behind, somebody became very competitive and things. Michael worked kinks out very quickly, and poor Alec Giesting on the one play where he drove the middle of the floor, Alec picked him up, Michael crossed him over, and he's retreat dribbling between his legs as Alec is closing out on him, and he hits a three-pointer before Alec even realized the shot was fired because it was just all that action, all that very smooth, all in one motion. And he's 40 years old, Coach, and I'm telling you what, at 40 years old, we could put him on a high school floor right now, and there's a lot of games where he'd still be the best player on the floor.
I had asked Coach Gerken who the kid was with the long blonde hair. I didn't realize that Austin left his hair grow. So.
Well, Austin Seifert and Robert Rager.
Yes.
One of the guys came up and said, "Gosh, you don't have a haircut policy this year? Are you getting soft?" I said, "Those boys have both graduated, and they've taken advantage to grow out that hair." And and Austin had just got his freshly permed, so he was ready. He was ready for action.
Coach, Friday night, Greensburg, get there early, right?
Yeah, I expect it to be a highly anticipated game for two reasons. It's Greensburg-Batesville, and for Greensburg, it'll be a chance for their fans for the first time this season to see the team they put together to play this year. So I think that'll bring out fans, and just the game in general bring out fans. It's usually well-coached, well-played game. The guys battle and play really, really hard, and there's no doubt Greensboro will be coming for some revenge of what took place in March, and we'll have our hands full and be ready for them and see what we can do in return.
Anything else before we let you go?
Nope, just like you said, glad to see everybody at the alumni game. We had quite a crowd out there, too. It was awesome to see you up in the skybox on Saturday. That's an awesome view from up there in terms of the Bulldog room, and just that whole room put together by Andy Kors' donation, the BCF, what they've done for that room. It's heavily utilized. I know a lot of our alumni really enjoyed going up there and seeing what was made of the old wrestling room.
I have to remember to look down and wave at people because they think I'm getting too independent to wave at them, but I forget to look down.
Sure, they're to your right, aren't they, as you're watching the action?
Yeah. Coach, we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Coach.
We'll be back after these words from our sponsor. You listen to Coach's Corner on WRBI 103.9 your FM dial and streaming live on WRBIRadio.com. We will be right back.
Cecil Eisen from Eisen's Family Pizza. We ask you to legalize marinara, and that was such an amazing response from you, our customers. So now we are asking you to not be Alfredo and try our new pasta. We have your choice of rigatoni, spaghetti, or cheese ravioli. We offer our delicious marinara or Alfredo. You can top them with 3 meat options for an additional charge. Try the chicken, meatballs, or sausage bites. Eisen's Family Pizza on the web, 812-933-0333 on the phone or downtown Batesville.
Batesville Chrysler Dodge Jeep is a proud sponsor of local athletics. I'm Michelle Galk, and at Batesville Chrysler, we value this community and the relationships we've built with our customers. As your hometown car dealer, we understand the importance of staying connected to the community. We commend all our student-athletes and their hard work and dedication. That's why we're proud to sponsor local sports coverage so that fans can stay connected no matter where we are. Remember, you can buy a car anywhere, but when you buy at Batesville Chrysler Dodge Jeep, we can all work together to support the future of this great community.
Now, back to Coach's Corner at Eisen's Family Pizza on the Sports Voice in Southeastern Indiana, Country 103.9 WRBI.
We are back. We will be back next week. Matt Stump is coming. He's with the EC Youth Football Program. David Disbro, East Central Boys Basketball Coach, will be here. Gary Marmon, yes. Brian Helvey, and Aaron Garrett will be back as usual with us next week. We thank you for joining us this evening. We thank WRBI for getting us on the air, and John for setting us up as usual. We want to thank Cecil and his crew here at Eisen's Pizza for allowing us to be here. We want to thank our sponsors who make all of this possible. And with the Christmas season, get out and shop with them and make their Christmas merry as well. We thank our coaches, and we thank all of you for listening in. Good night, everyone.
The Sports Voice in Southeastern Indiana, Country 103.9 WRBI, thanks you for listening to Coach's Corner, Southeastern Indiana's top local sports show, live from Eisen's Family Pizza in Batesville. See you next time.